Guten Marius. Ik heet Junt hier van jou. Alle hartelijk welkom en we zijn juist aan onze maat en ik wil Junt ook hartelijk welkom heten. Dat is Gods in huis waar we gaan alle top komen en zijn woorden aan checken en daar je gestrekt worden en daar we gaan weer gaan zijn hang en zijn feit zijn. En dat is wat hij te zijn jongen zegt. Hij zegt, God in de wereld neem. Zegt alle mensen wat ik voor jullie gedaan heb. Ik wil jullie grijzen met de woord wat we vingen in Galater 1, vers 3 bij 5, waar je zegt, jullie houden met jullie vrede van God, de Vader en van ons Heer Jezus Christus. Wij gaf zichzelf voor onze zin, dat hij mocht ons raden van deze zinvolle wereld, naar de wereld van God en ons Vader, te wem zij eer voor immer en immer. Amen. We hebben nog beter. Himmelisch Vader, we komen voor die Heilige Dag. Je zegt deze morgen, we danken die nog waar voor deze schijnen dag. Vader, we danken die voor het land. We danken die voor de vrijheid wat we hier nog hebben gehad. En we vreugd dat du moest met onze regering zijn, dat je moest bewaren van den Zoton. We weten dat er veel mensen wat veel dingen willen gaan je doen. En zo bid ik, Heer, dat u moest met hen zijn en dat ze mochten naar die checken en naar die wel dingen doen. Voor ik vrouw nu ook nog voor iedereen wat gekomen is, dat ze mochten zijn hier komen met een hart wat er is uitgemerkt. Dat we kunnen horen wat u was te ons reden in 2013 woord, of de leider wat worden gezongen, dat we daar mochten gestrekt worden. Voordat we vrouwen nu ook nog dat die moest met die zijn, wat we de gelijke hier zijn, maar niet kennen voor wat immer de oorzaak is, dat die ook moest met hen zijn en dat die hen moest strijken, dat ze dat mochten weten. Dat die hen niet vergeten haast en dat ze niet der moed verlieren, maar dat ze mochten en daar had het licht zijn voor die. En we weten dat er zijn tijden in ons leven, van dingen niet goed kunnen. Dan is dat schwer. Maar we weten dat wanneer we goud zijn, dat we zullen voor zo'n beden, dat we zullen zo'n opheven, dat we zullen die helpen. En zo vreel we die Heer, der dienen juist, dat u moest eind helpen en dat ze dat mochten weten. Voordat ik vreel nu ook nog dat zodat u mij weer geeft is, dat ik mocht alle zo even brengen, dat we alle mochten door uw tien woord kennen wat eruit kreeg. We bidden dat alles in die hoog alleen noemen. Amen. We worden nu een paar leiden aan.
O Jezus, dies is slecht, nummer 370. Oh my.
Gott sei denn auch mein Leib zum Tempel dir ergeben, zur Wohnung und zum Haus, ach allerliebstes Leben, ach wohn, ach Leben mir bei Weg und rege mich, so hat kein Seil und Leib mit dir vereinigt sich.
Nummer 3, Gott heißt es Gut der Güter. Number 3.
God heißt es gut der Güter, du mächtigste Regen, du Schöpfer und Beihüter von Erd und Firmament, fallen umschränkter Mark, wir sind gleich Lehm und Stoffei, Gras, Nebel, Dampf und Laubei, und fallen unbedacht. Du bleibst der Self und Stärke, dich schlägt das Alter nicht, wie uns nach kurzem Werke gar bald die Kraft gebricht. Denn unsere Jahre Zeit läuft mit verhängtem Zügel, fliegt gleich als hätt sie Flügel, ist eine Hand nur breit. Wir gleichen einer Blume, die weinig standen rot. Heut kann ich groß und Ruhme, doch morgen blass und tot. O Gott, dein großer Ruhm bleibt herrlich wie dein Name. Wir ein sind die Gersame des Todes Eigentum, die weil wir Adams Kinder sind wir der Maden Teil, weil wir in ihm als Sünder verscherzten unser Heil. O Gott der Weisheit Grund, dir liegen alle Dinge, wie groß und wie geringe, vor Augen klar und
Dankeschön für die Leiter. Für Textwert habe ich mir gewählt die Jakobus Kapitel 4 für die erste Part von Vers 8. Wo das sagt, trägt nur noch Gott, dann hei wird sich auch nur noch die tragen. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Das ist ein wunderbarer Versprechen, was wir haben. Wo hei es in dieser Welt angekommen, hei auf sich gejäft, für unsere Sinn, dass am Krieg gestorben. Und nun fragt er uns, trägt ihr nur noch mich? Dann wo ich mich auch nur noch ihn trage. Er ist ein Gott, was läuft uns so viel, dass er merkt uns nicht am Leben. Aber er ist immer da, er ist immer reit. Und er weiß, dass wir in Sinn geboren sind und dass wir Fehler merken. Und er ist immer reit, uns zu vergeben. Und da bin ich so dankbar für. Weil ich habe auch viele Dinge, wo er kurz kommen kann. Und dort weiter, wenn ich dort ein Wort oder ich sehe, nach war der Kurt gefallen oder ich kann, nur ankommen und für Vergebung freuen und hei dann einem noch vergeben wird. Und dort ist er so frei. Und dort will er auch haben, dass wir selber dort feinten oder daunen. Und einmal fing ich dort auch schwor, wenn der wir einem Wort dort und der dort immer war und dann, selbst wenn er immer war, kann er das Leben vergeben. Und dort auch wirklich für jeden. Und ich glaube, wenn wir dort würde Meier tun, wenn wir dort würde für jeden, dann würden wir da gleich weiter dort, das war passiert ist. Und da würde es so viel leichter, da würde das Leben so viel leichter merken. Ich würde nur noch zurückkommen hier nach Jakobus, aber ich würde nicht wollen, nach Matthäus Kapitel 6, Vers 33 drehen. Matthäus Kapitel 6, Vers 33, und das sagt aber, sie die Erste, das Recht von Gott in seine Gerechtigkeit und alle diese Dinge wurde ihnen zukommen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Aber hier hat noch ein Wut in der Farge und jetzt in Jesus in der Wied. Da waren dort das, was wir wurden tun. Dann wird er da für uns sein. Und meine Gedanken gehen zurück nach dem Kreuz. Und wir wissen, dass das nicht so lange zurück war, wie dort in Havara durchgingen, wo wir uns das Wort klar gemerkt haben, wo Jesus hat gelitten für uns. Und die zwei Männer wurden wieder, wo das ein großer Engerscheid ist. Wo Judas verrotet died. Und dann sagt er da, und dann kommt die Sotun an am Nern. Judas, hei jinkt mit Jesus, aber hei sein Hort wenig für Jesus. Hei wir selfish, hei deit seine eine Dinge. Hei wir wollen sein Heiland zu verroden für Geld. Ein Freund, der tief schämt, wenn wir weiter was er hat und wir tun das nicht, dass dort auch was zu uns passieren, dass er was in so tun Tag lohnt. Dass er wird alle Macht, die wir uns haben. Und dann denke ich an Petrus, die wir auch einen von Jesus in der Jünger bad mit Jesus taub. Und Jesus sagt ihm, was er wird tun, dass er ihm verliebt wird. Dann sagt Petrus, nee, ich war nicht. Und dann sagt er, ja, du warst. Dann sagt er, die Hunde wollen nicht drehen, weil du mich hast dreimal verloren. Und dann passiert doch so, aber Jesus sagt, ich habe für dich gebet, dass du warst standhaft geblieben. Jesus weiß, dass Petrus würde ihm auch fehlen, dass er ihm verliehen, he would swear, dass er weiß nicht, wer Jesus wäre, er würde ihm schwören, dass er weiß nicht. Aber Jesus sagt, ich habe für dich gebet. So, was ist der Unterschied zwischen den zwei Männern? Für mich zu sein ist, der eine, der möchte so laut ist, wenn er ein von Jesus seine Jünger wird, und der andere, der deut sein Mädels, der will. Aber wir können Mensch, er fällt kalt. Und so ist er auch mit uns. Wo stehen wir? wirst du wie mit Gott. Ich habe mein Ohndacht in Titel gegeben, als ich walking with God, going with God, go wie mit Gott. Sei wie Judas oder sei wie Peter. Sei wie einer, wer der will, wo du reich ist. Und wir wollen nicht daheim gehen, dass wir immer waren kartvolle. Aber was ist uns verlangen? Wer wir wirklich tun, was Gott will haben, dass wir tun sollen. Und wenn wir sein, dass wir sein Kart gefallen. Und das ist eben auch wahr, der Unterschied zwischen Judas und Petrus. Judas ging gerührt und nahm sein Leben in seine Ehe hin. Petrus ging gerührt und er rohrt bitterlich. Am wird leid. Dort wir nicht, was er will. Aber wir haben eine Karte gefallen. Und dort erzählt wie seine, wo wir stehen. Sehr wie ernst oder sehr wie nicht. Wenn wir eine Gelegenheit kriegen, wem zu verraten, da wie dort. Wenn das auch weiß, so ist. Und wir willst Menschen rum ans Chicken. Und vielleicht wollt ihr noch was rückkriegen. Judas wird betont für das Donner. Er ging zu einer Hohepriester und sagte, was wollt ihr mir geben? Er hat auch Mut Valens, er wisst. Aber er will nicht. Petrus will nicht, aber er died. Paulus sagt doch, die Dinge, die ich nicht will, die tue ich, und die, die ich will, die tue ich nicht. Und da kann ich so gut mit und verstehen sein, dass wir wie sind, als Menschen, aber die große Gelegenheit habe, zurückzukommen am. Und am Stunde zurückkommen, Frau für Vergebung und dann verjaft er uns. In 1. Petrus, Kapitel 1, Vers 24 und 25. Hier sagt er, für Fleisch ist es groß, und alle Ehe von Mensch aus dem Blum von der Groß. Der Gras verdreht und der Blum, der fällt weich. Das ist, wer wir wirklich sind. Wir sind nicht. Wir sind nicht mehr als der Gras, was der Bühne wachsen hat. Das Grenz, was der Schmack der Blume schreit. Und dann verdreht das und dann ist das Eva. Und so wird uns Leben sein. Wir sind nun hier. Er hat uns eine Gelegenheit, dass wir Licht sein für ihn. Aber die Zeit wird kommen, wo wir er wird uns letzte Atem wahrnehmen. Er hat uns das erste Atem gegeben. Er wird uns letzte Atem wahrnehmen. Und dann vergehen wir. Da schauen wir nicht hin. Die zwei Tiere sind uns ganz bestimmt. Aber die Tiere dazwischen, was du wieder mit? In der 25. Vers sagt er, das Wort von den Herren, das Wort für immer sein. Und das ist das Wort, Wie der hier das Evangelium predigt, wie hand das wird. Wenn ich in Old Testament nenne, wo die Menschen, wo die Buste, Hohe Priester und die Wied haben und die Leute, die Uten oder Menschen, und die mussten sich dort abverloten, dass das Reich wäre. Wie hand das wird. Wie können wir selbst nennen? Wenn wir Dinge nicht verstehen, wie können wir nennen? Wenn wir Dinge nicht finden, wie können wir andere Menschen freuen und verhaupten? Sondern wird das vielleicht besser weiter. Und dann die wollen uns das wissen, dann können wir daheim gehen und dann können wir das von uns selbst lesen. Das, Jesus hat das so leicht gemerkt für uns. Und da bei uns Fleisch, wird es in Sinn geboren, wo wir mit der Fürke so jähn kämpfen, um das rechte Ding zu tun. Ich will drei Gäste noch. Jakobus, wo die in der 5. Vers anfangen, und er sagt, denk ihr, dass die Schrift sagt für Jesus, dass die Geist, was in uns ist, die verlangt den Aufgangs. Do ye think that the Spirit saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Gleich wieder dort es für Jesus geschrieben. Ich würde mal sehr klar sein, hey. Wir sind in Sinn geboren und dort ist Wort, wenn wir da nicht jeden kämpfen, dann dort ist Wort, ans Wort übernehmen, dort ist Wort, ans Leben, Wort sein. Und es ist der Vers, sagt er, aber ich gebe ihn mir ja genug, wo der Herr sagt, Gott steht jen, der dort stolt, er steht jen, der wird so proud sein. Gott resistet the proud, aber er gibt mir ja genug, nur der wird demütig sein. Wir sollen uns hingeben und fürchten, dass das meint, demütig sein. Da tauscht ohne, da wir sein Kart gefallen. Tauscht ohne, dass wir Menschen sind. Und es ist eben der Vers, ich dachte, submit yourselves therefore to God. Gib ihn eben noch Gott. Und er sagte, steh jen in so tun, resist the devil. And he will, he wird, wacheran von uns. Den Versprecher habe ich von uns, lieber Heiland. Da wenn wir wahrhaftig sind, wenn wir treu sind zu Gott, dass er so tun, was seine Macht über uns hat. Aber wenn wir nicht sind, dort ist es, wenn wir uns übergeben nur arm. Wir loten arm ans Leiden. Something, what we were about all the day, jen stone. And then in the acht, the far side to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If this far side is, I wash you in the hang, he's in the, and merk you in the water rain, he's at a double-minded, twice-schneed you. Or, what am I in a rut with well as I abdice, quite a honey hammer, all the weird for that, but we fight it out that we matter ans. Reinwaschen. Und der einzige Weg, wo wir können uns reinwaschen, dort ist uns hingeben zu Gott. Lothar Arm dort, und wir können dort nicht selbst. Aber wenn wir uns hingeben, dann wird er dort für uns tun. Und der Tier in der Vers sagt dort, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Nach Vater sagt er, wenn wir uns demütig werden, wenn wir uns hingeben, dann wird er uns der ich nehme. Hei weit, wat wir waren, wat steht fair ans für Maria, hei weit, wat steht fair ans diesen Numera. Hei astua, hei weit dort. Hei wat ans der ich drehen. Zavi valens, tam am dort lote daune. Oder gleich wie die Welt so fehlt, dat wir wälle ans, dat ut ans selbst daune. Wie weit dort ist nicht mehrlich. Wir kennen nicht uns selbst. Wenn wir das selbst versichern, dann sind wir selbst. Das ist der Leib, was Gott hat für uns. Er lässt uns. Aber er verspricht uns zurück, wenn wir uns hingeben, wenn Dinge auch schwer gehen, dann wird er uns durchleiden. Er wird uns never mehr ableihen, als was wir können nehmen. Wunderbare Versprechen. Und einmal war ein Tier geschworen, und wunderte, Gott, wo bist du? Und da bin ich erst da. Wir müssen bloß noch weiter nur am Checken. In Hebräer Kapitel 13, Vers 8, Jesus Christus, der selbst der gestern und von dir und von immer. Sein Wort ändert nicht. Und das ist ein guter Ding, wo wir uns channel und holen. Sein Wort ändert nicht. Wenn das Wort sagt, dann von dir, wenn das Wort schreibt, dass das Wort steht von dir, dort wird wir reinhaben, da wird Mario auch so stehen. Und Eva Mario in den Dachten auch. Solange es uns Leben hat. Dass das immer so war, dass das immer so blieb. Gott sei Dank ändert nicht. Ich mich selbst einmal zwei Dinge an, und Luther, wo ich ändert, dass das überhaupt nicht reich oder ich habe andere Gedanken, die eben, und weckt das andere Staunen. Gott ändert nicht. Dit is geschreven en dort steht geschreven. Dort haben wir uns abverloten, dass dort Wort immer so sein. In 2. Timotheus, Kapitel 2, Vers 15, da sagt dort, study to show thyself approved unto God. Studiert, lehrt. Nehmt sein Wort und lehrt davon, du Berner. Dort ist, wo wir gerne weiter. In Orbe, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sein Wort nehmen dort studieren, dann wo wir weiter, was der Reich und was der Erde has. Wir weiter viel mal, die Sorte und die Kämpfe an und die Wellens verleiden. Kriegst du sie einfach verleiden, die dem Gott. Wir kämpfen, wo er uns im Zweifel sagt, wo er uns frei. Meinst du das wirklich so? Wenn Gott sagt, die Sorte nicht ohne, dann schick mal, so viel da dort. Das ist wirklich nicht so schlimm. Aber dort wird es sein. Wenn wir dort in Wut studieren, die so tun uns kämpft, dann haben wir eine Macht zum Gegenstand haben, dass wir wollen gerne dort Gott uns Wort durchhaben, wenn Dinge auch sehr schwer wurden. Und in 19. Vers sagt er, nevertheless, the foundation of God stand assured. Sein Wort ist geschrieben, dort steht für sicher. Das wird nicht ändern. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. They are they weit uns. Hei weiß, wer Judas wir, hei weiß, wer Petrus wir. Hei weiß, wer du bist, hei weiß, wer ich sie. Wir können uns verstärken von ihm. Dort ist es dort das. Wenn wir reich in ihm sind, dann bewahrt er uns. Wenn wir nicht sind, dann gehen wir auf uns hin. Und dann die Farsch, die sagt er, Talat sagt er, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Wenn wir sagen, dass wir sind, Jesus in den Ophelia, er sagt, dann wollen wir die Sinn zu sehen leihen. Dann wollen wir nicht portan, was die Welt hat bei dir, wie wollen der Tag, Lord. Und wie weiter wir leben in dieser Welt, wie müssen wiedergehen in dieser Welt. Aber wir dürfen nicht port nehmen von was die Welt hat bei dir. Was die so tun, wir haben beide. Die so tun, jeden einfach, dann wollen den einzigen Baum, was sie nicht sollen von eten, dann dort, wo er mir zwiebeln. Die checkt den Ohr, das ist fein, das ist gut. Und dann sagen sie, ha, das ist gut, das Eten, das lässt Schmack. Und dann hat sie ein Verlangen dann auch. Wenn wir hier in diese Welt gehen, das kriegt so. Die Welt, die hat Dinge zu beide. Was die uns will haben, was wir tun sollen. Und dann erstens dann sagen wir, nee, no, no. Aber dann schicken wir nach Hause und dann langsam, langsam gehen wir an. Dann bringen wir Bord auch nicht mehr. Da wie Gott sein Wort sagt, das sollen wir nicht tun. Aber wir haben uns doch geloten, bei der Tiefkampf war, das wird nicht so schlimm sein. Das ist nicht really, was das sein wird. Das so tun, als wenn wir Materien schaffen. Aber dank Gott, mit seiner Haupt, dort ist mehrlich. Da wir kennen, die sind die Verstunde. Da wir kennen, immer war er noch am Kommen. Und er hat uns immer war er wort mit offenen Arms. Kriegst du es heute um Chiritzwehr, wo er da hängt? Er sagt, komm nur mir. Und die Rote, er ist sterben und sagt, bete nach für dich, warum du am Chiritzwehr und sagt, verjeffen, sie weiß nicht, was sie tun. Dort war von Verlangen, Jesus auf, dass die China soll verloren gehen. Da wir alle standhaft bleiben. Er wird uns der helfen. Zu der zweiten Punkt von der Ordnung, weil wir die Artikel in der Gone, die wir auf Englisch der Gone von der 7. bis der 12. Und einmal, wenn wir dort lesen, dann in mir, einmal kriegt es auch, dass vielleicht, dass es zusammen auch und war. But vi vet at det vi anser tjekke opstående det en kort befolde, stort hvor vi opstående downen. Men vi gjør derhjemme den, den vil være virkelig til hvert nemme det. Det vi anser tjekke opp med det, tjekke opp med hvor det tjekke opstående det, hvor godt sin vurd han sier, hvor vi opstående selv. Vi vil nu de tid nemmen, for ons al zijn de Heilandens handje en de weer konen en dingen nu aan jeven. En wanneer we ons werkelijk kennen aan jeven, dan worden dingen niet boring zijn. Dan worden we de kennen de hoopzacht te benen zijn. So voor die wat de kennen, we hebben ons handje naar en beden naar ons almachtige God. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Please take your red books and turn to page number 144. I gave my life for thee. Can we stand, please?
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glorious circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, as thou loved that for me. I left it all for thee, as thou loved that for me. I suffered much for thee, more than my tongue can tell. Bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts for thee, what hast thou wrought for me? I bring rich gifts. lives for thee, what hast thou brought for me?
If we have prayed in the name of Jesus, we can be assured of he will have heard our prayers. I want to go through the articles, starting in verse 7 on page 139, for those of you that have your catechism with you. The first article is of choice of teachers and servants, and how important it is that we choose according to the will of God. If we want the blessing of God, we also need to choose his ways. We believe and also confess that the Lord Jesus has ordained, ordered, and set as shepherds, elders, teachers, and deacons who govern the church of God and who lead with an exemplary teaching and conduct. These must then be called by an orderly election or choice, following the example of Holy Scriptures. In Matthew 10, we read that our Lord chose 12 of his followers as apostles and sent them out to preach the gospel. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, the apostles chose 2 to replace the betrayer Judas and elected Matthias by lot. That conducting this election was necessary and important, and that no church can carry on without orderly elections. We can plainly see from 2 Timothy 2:1 and 2, when Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And to Titus he writes in chapter 1, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee, as to how an elder's disposition and behavior is to be in the church." Paul says that he be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For the bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine or violent, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince those that attempt to confuse others. Of the servants in the church, Paul writes, "Likewise must the deacon or minister be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use office as a deacon or minister, being found blameless." In 1 Timothy 3, "For this we see that the church cannot exist without shepherds and teachers. For Solomon says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish." In order that such selection or choice be made according to the will of God and serve to the best welfare of the church must prepare itself for this task with godly fasting and prayer, and call earnestly to God that he, as one who knows the hearts of men, make known the one he has chosen and prepared, in the sincere trust that the Lord, through his Holy Scripture, will give his assistance in this matter. The importance of, as I mentioned already, of doing it in the right order. Fasting, praying, allowing God to show us who it is that he has prepared. And as I said before already, he is there. He knows what we're going to meet. He knows what we're going to face. And he knows our hearts. He knows who's faithful and who's just walking along. He wants us all to be faithful, but as leaders, he wants those that are truly committed. In Article 8 of Holy Baptism, we believe and confess also that our Lord Jesus, in order to maintain the church, instituted baptism with water upon the confession of faith. For this we read in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and Mark 16, 15 and 16, that the Lord sent his apostles out into the world with this command, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And the Lord gives them this consolation: "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." This command the apostles faithfully carried out, for we read in Acts 2 when the apostles, after the ascension of Christ, gathered in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was poured out over them, that Peter proclaimed to the people the faith in Jesus Christ of his suffering, death, and resurrection. By reference to the scriptures and the Psalms, he powerfully proved to them that Jesus was the promised Savior, Messiah, and Redeemer. And I want to stop there a little bit where he talks about powerfully proved. And that is what the Word of God does. When we have questions, when people have questions, and we can go to his Word and we can prove. When we're on the right road, we can prove that this is truly where God wants us to be. Just like Peter was able to powerfully prove to the people that Jesus had come, he had died on the cross and had gone back to heaven. If we continue, we're told that this message pierced their hearts, and they spoke to Peter and the other apostles, saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Sometimes we go through life and we believe we're on the right track, and all of a sudden we realize that we're really not where we should be, and God has opened up more to us. And are we then also that excited? Do we then also seek for further direction like these people did? They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? How can we continue?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, who continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of the bread and prayer. Much could be added here, how the apostles baptized those that believed, which God-fearing hearts can read in Holy Scripture. In Acts 18:8 of Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, chapter 10 of Cornelius, the captain, and in chapter 8 of the eunuch under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and many other places, all of these received baptism in no other way but only upon confession of their faith. Dear friends in Christ, from all this we can see that the Lord Jesus has commanded to teach and to baptize, and secondly, that the apostles baptized no one who did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or who did not desire to be baptized. Thirdly, that whoever wants to become a follower of Jesus Christ and who wants to confess and accept him as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, and who wants to become a partaker of his body should be baptized and must not consider himself wiser or superior to the Lord Jesus, who permitted himself to be baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, according to Matthew 3:13. The Lord Jesus says in John 8:31, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. For he that is faithful in That which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much, according to Luke 16:10. Should someone think or ask, what is baptism, or what does it mean, and why is it necessary? Him we answer, baptism indicates to us the washing away of sins through the merits of the blood of Christ. For as water serves to cleanse the body, so the blood of Jesus Christ takes away all sins of all sinners who faithfully and penitently receive baptism, and it cleanses the conscience of dead deeds to serve the living God, according to Hebrews 9:14. Truly the apostle says in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of filth in the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All this happens not with the natural power of water or the soiled flesh, but through the covenant of the clean conscience with God. Secondly, this penitent soul will be accepted and received in the church and fellowship of Christ. For Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by the Spirit we're all baptized into one body, and this body is the church of Jesus Christ. And I want to clarify there that when we are going through the season where we're going to be answering the people that have come forward that have a desire to be baptized, they will answer the questions in the catechism, and they will be baptized upon the confession of their faith and be accepted into the church of Jesus Christ, and then also as a member of a Zummerfeld Mennonite church. You are not baptized into the Zummerfeld Mennonite church. You are baptized into the church of Jesus Christ and welcomed into the Zummerfeld Mennonite church. Sometimes that can be misunderstood, that we're baptized into the Zummerfeld church, and that's not what it is. We're baptized into the church of Jesus Christ, and then we're partakers of the Zummerfeld Mennonite church to help go about proclaiming the word. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. These have put on Christ through baptism and have become regenerated inwardly. No more do they permit sin to govern in this worldly life and are obedient in their desires, as stated in Romans 6, who for the love of Jesus regarded everything for harm and filth in order to apply all powers of the soul in their love towards Jesus, so that they may truly become holy in heart and soul. 1 Peter 3, dear souls, these then have been baptized into Christ's death and were buried with him through baptism, in order that as Jesus rose from the dead through the glory of his Father, they too shall follow in the newness of life, according to Romans chapter 6. We conclude this article on holy baptism and wish and hope that the Almighty God will prosper all those who are contemplating this important step and will find them worthy and qualified in their hearts, so that they reach the decision to accept baptism with a confirmed and living faith and true knowledge, in order that God in Christ will find them worthy and with the Holy Spirit be inwardly baptized with fire, that God's blessing will be of this nature, we wish and pray from the depths of our heart. Next one, Article 9 is of the Lord's Supper. Jesus himself instituted this just before he died on the cross, and he has commanded that we continue this, that we don't forget that. Of the Lord's Supper, we also believe and confess that our Lord Jesus has instituted a communion of bread and wine for all his faithful followers in remembrance of his innocent and most worthy suffering and death when he shed his blood for us sinful men. Out of true love, he gave himself to be crucified on the cross and willingly suffered death like a lamb that carried the sin of the world, John 1:29, through whom we have redemption by his blood, namely the forgiveness of sins according to Colossians 1:14. This Holy Communion, our Lord Jesus did not only institute and ordered his apostles to maintain it, but he himself did celebrate it in the night when he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. Then he said to his disciples, "With desire, I have desire to eat the Passover with you before I suffer," Luke 22:15. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also he took the cup after supper, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins," Matthew 26:27-28. Likewise, Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 11:23-26, that in the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, thanked his heavenly Father, broke it, and divided it among his disciples. In the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped and gave it to them. He concluded his words to them in this way, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he comes." What is truly signified by the breaking of the bread and drinking of the cup is this: just as bread and wine serve for the nourishment of the body, in the same way our souls are nourished by the body and blood of Christ. Through and by this eating and drinking, our souls are nourished and preserved to eternal life. Therefore, dear souls, we must put no trust in the outward signs or things, but must much more place our whole faith in the true substance. For outwardly we eat and drink with the mouth nothing more than the natural bread and wine, but inwardly in the soul we receive through faith the true body and blood of Christ. Faithfulness to God, and he blesses us with many, many blessings. Article 10 of the washing of feet is an illustration, that an example that Jesus did for his disciples, showing them that it doesn't matter who you are. No one is too great, no one is too big, no one is too far up on the ladder that he cannot serve another person. Of the washing of feet, we teach that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, according to John 13, after he instituted the Lord's Supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he had poured into a basin and began to wash the feet of his disciples and to wipe them with the towel with he was girded. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. If ye know these things, blessed are ye if ye do them." From this we should observe how Jesus, our Master, out of pure love, humbled himself and took upon him the role of a servant in order to deliver and redeem us from sin and to cleanse us. And therefore he taught us that we, his followers, should also serve one another with equal humility and love. Article 11 speaks on marriage, and we know that marriage is a big thing. It is a commitment between two people for life. We also know that there are a lot of teachings out there that don't believe that divorce is an option. And as we will read this, Jesus himself annulled it. Moses had given permission Jesus when he came, he annulled that. And as I said before, his word will stand. Of marriage, we also confess a marriage ordained by God himself when he set Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden, namely two persons, a man and a woman, on whom God, the Lord, pronounced his blessing according to Genesis 1:28. But the men of old disregarded and misused the ordinance and took unto themselves many wives. Therefore, the Lord Jesus in the New Testament completely and totally renounced this practice and said that God at the beginning had created one man and one woman and had united them according to Matthew 19. Such marriage in the Christian church must take place between two believing persons who through one baptism were baptized into one body and were born anew from above by God. These alone may marry in the Lord according to 1 Corinthians 7:39. They can then become blessed in this union if they remain in the true faith, in love, in sacredness, and in discipline, as taught in 1 Timothy 2:15. Moses, the lawgiver of the Israelites, permitted the obstinate Jews to divorce themselves from their wives and gave them a letter of separation, as stated in Deuteronomy 24. This marriage separation is, or permission to divorce, our lawgiver, the Lord Jesus, completely annulled and again reinstituted marriage as it was from the beginning when God united two faithful people and made them as one flesh and placed them into paradise. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Matthew 19:16. Therefore, it is plain that the two cannot be separated by divorce as long as they shall live. But if one of the person dies, and the other is at liberty to marry again in whom he will, but only according to 1 Corinthians 7:39. We understand this to mean that the living and remaining partner must remain in the true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The marriage must be in, not out of the church, for we consider this admissible when a person is married outside the church. And I want to stop and just clarify this. These last few lines here, it talks about in a church. It's talking about in the church of Jesus Christ. It's not talking about a building. It's talking about in the church of Jesus Christ. And it could easily be misunderstood. As we have an example of this in the ancient world when God showed his displeasure as stated in Genesis 6. Usually only quarrels and disagreements resolve between such marriage partners, and this is not pleasing to God but is an abomination to him. Paul teaches us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Let us therefore all be warned, and in the most brotherly fashion be admonished to beware of such marriages. May the good Lord, through his Spirit, preserve and keep us, that no one fall victim to such folly, and to depart from the Lord and his church for anything in this world. For the Lord Jesus teaches, he that loves someone more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37-38. Article 12 of the evangelical ban, its withdrawal and application. And this article speaks about people who continually stir up strife in the church, who don't want to abide by regulations. And we know that each organization has to have structure, just continually wants to go against that. And it talks about how they are to be dealt with. Of the evangelical ban with its withdrawal and its applications. Of the evangelical ban, its withdrawal and application of the punished ones in the church, we believe and confess that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his church the keys of heaven and to bind and to set free and commandment that all annoying or vexing and disobedient members of the church should be banned from his body and the church, as the Apostle Paul instructed the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5:13. Therefore, put away from among yourselves the wicked person. but how carefully we must proceed toward improvement rather than division. The Lord Jesus teaches us in Matthew 18:15-17, when he says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican," in order that we proceed very carefully, in order that we proceed very carefully with a ban and the separation from the church. Our first elder, Menno Simons, with all his co-workers, teach and instruct the work in the house of the Lord. When he speaks in this way, the ban should be taught and applied in a proper apostolic way and practice, not too hastily and not too slowly, not too severely, neither too leniently, in order that you do not seethe the kid in its mother's milk, Exodus 23:19. When, however, a man's iniquities have separated him from God, and his sins have hid his face from you, Isaiah 59:2, and faces the wrath of God, and has ruined his blessed state with God the Father, and annoys the church of God and afflicts it, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 15:13 orders such plants, which my heavenly Father has not planted, shall be uprooted, and this separation from the church, the apostles and the first Christians used and supported, as we see in 1 Corinthians 5:5 and in First Timothy 1:20. In order to improve those who have become separated from the church, they must be kept apart and shunned. In this way, they will be ashamed of their evil deeds, and will repent, and their souls will be saved on the day of judgment, according to 1 Corinthians 5. Therefore, is this separation from a church not for the destruction or ruin of the ban, but rather for penance and conversion of the disgraced and crushed hearts? We must therefore regard them not as enemies, but as brothers, and must admonish them according to the teachings in 2 Thessalonians 3:15. Above all, we must pray for them that the Lord Jesus will be gracious to them and will forgive them their sins, and through his compassionate love will accept them again as children and joint heirs of his kingdom. For the Lord has not given us power or authority for destruction, but for improvement. 2 Corinthians 10:18, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Therefore, the Lord Jesus teaches in Matthew 18:12-14, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeks that which is gone astray? And if so be he finds it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." In the same manner, the church must extend once more a loving hand to the punished one after he has become truly penitent, and again accept him as a member of the church. "It is sufficient," says the apostle, "that he was punished by the many. Therefore, he must also receive a greater measure of assuring and comforting words and forgiveness, in order that he does not sink into too much grief and sorrow. And so I admonish you that you show your love to these, as stated in 2 Corinthians 2:8. "Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward them." That is how far we will go for today. I have a verse that I want to share out of Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, where it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a powerful verse. What strength we have in serving our Creator. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne one more time this morning. Lord, we thank you for leaving us a roadmap. We thank you for the clarity that we have in it, and we pray that as we continue our journey here in this world, that you would strengthen us, that we'd be able to truly follow your teachings. And when we have fallen short, that we wouldn't get sorrowful over people that admonish us, but that we would accept the admonishment and repent, come back if that is what needs to take place. Father, I thank you once again for each one that has come out this morning and pray your blessing upon them as they depart and as they go wherever the road takes them throughout the days and weeks to come, and that they too can be a blessing to each one that they meet. We pray this all in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. I have one prayer request here before we kneel for prayer. It says, please pray for John and Tina Fair. John has been diagnosed with fibromyalgia and has lots of pain. And Pastor Art Weeb has forwarded this. And so as we want to one more time go on bended knees, let's remember John and Tina, and that God would be gracious to John and relieve him of his pain. So for those of you who are able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Again, take the red book and turn to number 304. Hasten on to the goal. Number 304, can we stand?
Faith left the banner of Christ, waiting there. onward we press towards the goal. Oh, see, heaven's portals are open now for you. Rest for the weary soul. Hasten on to your city of glory and light, there by the crystal sea. At the feet of the Savior we'll worship and sing, praise Him eternally. Of earth, onward we go, onward we press towards the goal. See, heaven's portals are open now for you, rest for the weary
soul. Good morning. I'd just like to remind you that the deacon ordination for Henry and Susanna Bartsch as deacon couple will be today, 2:30 p.m. here in our church, and you are all invited for that. And maybe also keep in your prayers the bishop election in Seminole on April 28th. And lastly, I have here a letter from Cal and Dora Hebert, and I will just read it as they have written it. An announcement on behalf of Reverend Cal and Dora Hebert. We greet you with the words that have a deep and true meaning to us both, found in Ephesians 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Yes, God has been very gracious to both of us. God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, this triune God has helped us to get through many struggles and sins of our life and has shown us His grace again and again and again. God is not finished with us yet. We give the triune God a great praise for all He has done for us. God has blessed us with many spiritual blessings from His heavenly realms. Why? Because, as we understand, in order to be blessed spiritually, we have to be united with Christ. We are reminded of the parable in Matthew 24 about the talents that one receives and what we should do with them. We, Cal and Dora, have accepted the talents or gifts from God, and with the help and strength of the Lord, we have used the talents inside and outside the Church of Jesus Christ for numerous years. This was not on our own, as many times we both felt like we were not worthy to take on the role that God felt we should through the votes that we received on election nights. Now we have both come to a road in our life to decide whether God has called us to a next step of life, and both have come to the conclusion that we must move on in the trust of the Lord. To conclude, dear fellow ministerial and congregations of the Sommerfeld Mennonite Conference, we, Cal and Dora Hebert, thank you all for the years that we were privileged to serve in the capacity that we have within the Sommerfeld Mennonite Conference. Thank you for the many encouraging words that have been uplifting to us, along with words of admonishment that were received, done with true love. Together we have come to the decision to resign from the Sommerfeld Ministerial. We both thank you again for all the love and support that we have received from many of you over these years of service. Our wish and prayer is that you may accept our resignation as a ministerial couple, that you may think of us from time to time in your prayers. In Christian love, Cal and Dora Hebert. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements. For this morning's worship service, I have nothing more to bring you out of God's word, but want to thank you for coming, and may the Lord bless you as you continue your journey here in this world. For closing, I want to bless you with the benediction, which we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Will you unite with me? Now the God of peace have brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And you may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.